Okay, the app awakens from idea to launch. Two quick disclaimers from the start. First of all, I'm talking about consumer mobile apps, but many aspects of what I will be talking about can also be applied to any other sort of apps, be it web applications or even games. And secondly, this is not really a technical talk. It's more like an overview over the whole app development process, and I will probably go a little bit over time because it's a really big topic and I really try to cover everything you need. So when I first started my app development journey, I thought, well, coding would probably be the hardest part, and turns out I was wrong. At least for me, coding was the easy part. What was difficult was to understand the whole app development landscape. So what options are there, which options should I choose, and just what does it take to build a fully functional app? And this is what I'm trying to convey to you in this talk, so that should you ever want to build your own app, then you have a bird's eye overview over the whole topic, you know which options there are, and based on your situations, you can choose which path to follow, which options to take, where to start. Okay, so let's begin by asking ourselves, well, what actually makes a good or even a great app? To put it simply, an app has one job, and that is to, well, make the user's life better in some way. But of course, we can break it down a little bit more, and we can identify three areas that great apps do well. The first one is they have a clear problem and a clear solution to this problem. And here it's really important that you focus on one core problem that you want to solve. For example, I myself, when I started programming apps, I was always in this thinking spiral of this feature would be nice in my app, and what about this? And this would be cool if my app had this, and this I can add also. And it's really not a good habit to have. Instead of asking yourself, what else could my app have? What else could my app do? You should be asking yourself, well, how could I solve this problem I set out to solve? How can I solve this in a simpler, in a cleaner, in a better way, in a more efficient way? So really try to avoid this feature overload. And the next thing that good apps or great apps do is they have a good usability. So even if you have the best app idea, if you don't execute on it well, if the users download your app and they don't know how to use it, what to do with it, then the idea is worth nothing. And to achieve good usability, we can always ask ourselves three questions inside our app, no matter on which screen you're currently at. The user should always know where he currently is and where he can go from here, so the navigation should be pretty clear, and also the user should, at every step of the app, know exactly what actions can he take here and what actions should he take here. So the buttons should be self-explanatory. There should not be too many options, because if there are too many options, then the user probably will get confused. There's something called decision paralysis, and they will close the app, never use it again. And the third part is, of course, the look, the feel you create for the user with your app. This already starts before the user actually uses your app. So in the App Store and the Google Play Store, you have your app icons. They should have a nice design. You have your app screenshots, a description. I would recommend here, don't shy away from AI. AI can really, in the beginning, help you find ideas for icons, design your first things, and then later on you can design it yourself or hire a designer to do those things. But for ideas, AI can help there a lot. Then, of course, we have the actual design, the UI of your app, and this could be a whole another topic, a whole another talk, but my advice would be there's lots of resources on the internet, lots of websites where you can browse through thousands of different UI styles, thousands of different apps, see what you like, copy it, maybe change here and there a few things, and if you want to have a professional user interface, then try to keep it clear, try to keep it simple, choose one color scheme and stick to it throughout your whole app. Like, you want to create an organic kind of unity. Your app doesn't want to look in one area this way, in another area another way. So if you have rounded corners here, you don't want sharp edges there, and the font should be consistent. Like, just keep it clean, keep it simple, and it will already look professional. Next, if you want the extra step, then you can play around with animations, you can play around with haptics for buttons, Or if you really want to put the cherry on top, then you could play around with gamification, like you could add streaks to get the user retention up, to bring the users back to your app. You could use point systems, medals, achievements, stuff like this. But always be cautious, because too many good things can actually end up in a bad user experience. So put these things in gradually and experiment what works, what doesn't. Okay, so how do we find a good app idea? Well, if you already have an app idea, that's great. If not, I hope with the following tips to give you some ideas, somehow bring your creative juices flowing, I don't know, to get some ideas. Well, the best way would be, of course, if you can look at your own life and you can identify a problem, and maybe you can solve your problem with writing your own app. Or you could also look at the life of friends or people close to you. For me, for example, I always liked writing down and tracking everything I do. I like the visual representation of my progress. And so, for example, for workouts, there are already tons of apps in the App Store. But I myself, I'm a Latin dancer, and I checked, there was nothing there. So I decided, well, I will just write my own kind of dance tracking, dance organizer app, and now other dancers can use it as well. So to illustrate this a little bit, imagine you were like the first Jedi to ever walk around, and of course there's some droid that is making your life difficult, so you have a problem. And you come up with a solution, you build a great weapon, the greatest weapon of all, the lightsaber. So you have a problem, a solution, perfect, no droids that harm you anymore. And because we're talking apps, we're talking software, not only can you use your lightsaber, now other people can use this solution as well. This would be the best option. But of course, even if you find a problem in your life and then you look around and you see, oh, well, there's already so many apps out there that solve this exact problem. So what am I to do here? Well, there's still many options. And actually, if there are lots of apps or some apps out there already, that's actually a good sign, because it shows that there's already competition and there's a need for this sort of apps. And then you can basically choose one of the already existing solutions and you can ask yourself, well, how can I make this in some way a little bit better? And you have multiple ways in doing this. You could, for example, increase or improve the usability. Imagine all lightsabers, they have a straight handle, and maybe some users, they fight better if the handle is curved, and already you have a new product. Or you could add additional features. Imagine you have a calorie tracking app and you have to manually type in everything you eat to get your stats. Maybe you can add a new feature that by just taking a picture of what you eat, you get automatically all the data you want. Or lastly, you could also just redesign an existing app. For example, maybe there's workout apps that have a blue color scheme, and maybe you just turn it into a pink color scheme, I don't know, so it appeals more to women, I don't know. Like, there's thousands of options you could choose. And lastly, you could just combine also two already existing ideas, two already existing apps, see if you can create something new by combining them. Okay, so now when we want to start building our app, especially our first app, it's very important to stay focused. Just like my laptop wants to stay focused. That you really want to solve in the beginning for your first version of the app just this one core problem that you set out from the beginning. You do not want to build everything all at once. You do not want to start building the Death Star from the beginning. Otherwise, it will be just too complex, and probably halfway through the process, you will just throw your hands up and say, okay, I'm finished. I don't want to continue. And you will never have your first version of the app. So really stick to the core features, release the first version of the app, and then when you get your first users, they will naturally tell you what features they like, which features maybe are not so good, which you should remove. This way you don't have to guess what you want to add. You don't add features that you later have to remove anyway. So yeah, keep it simple. In business terms, create a minimum viable product. But even for this, for version one, I would still recommend five things that most apps should have in the beginning. This is first of all, a sort of backend to store the user data, a way to authenticate users. If you want to monetize your app, if you want to make money, then you also need a way to manage subscriptions or payments. And onboarding is always nice for the user to get used to your app, to get into your app. And then finally, analytics from the start. This helps you massively in the long run if you see how users interact with your app and what you can improve. I will go through them now step by step. First of all, the data storage. Well, there's basically two options. The first option is you just store the data locally on the device. This is the easiest approach. It costs you nothing. The data stays private on the phone of the user. It works for offline. But of course, as soon as the user wants to switch the phone or deletes the app and wants to restart it again, the data is lost. So you have to find some way of exporting the data, importing it again, and the user has to do it manually. Not a good choice. So then you could host your own database, or you could just use services that do this for you. If you want to do it yourself, if you have fun doing this, then go for it. It will probably be a bit cheaper. You will have a little bit more flexibility, but yeah, you will have to do a lot more work, a lot of struggles probably to go through. And if you're lazy like me, then just use a service that's out there already. They are not too expensive to use. For example, I use Firebase. It has a few pretty neat features. For example, they have offline support, so when the user uses your app offline, changes some data, goes back online, the data is automatically updated, no need to do anything on your part. You can do automatic backups from the data, so you never run the risk of losing your user's data. They have integrated authentication, like lots of cool stuff, actually. Then, if you want to authenticate users to your app, like if you want to do logins, signups, then of course you have to do email and password. But I would highly recommend you also add sign in with Apple, sign in with Google. It's just much more convenient for people to, with one click, sign up to your app instead of having to write down the email, create a new password, manage the passwords. This will lead to significantly higher rates of signups for your app. And there's, of course, services for this, like if you already use Firebase, you can use this again. But there's also other good options, Superbase, Auth0, Clerk, they all work pretty well. Then if you want to make money with your app, if you're not doing it only for fun, then there's basically three options, three models you can make money from. The first one is you just, well, set a price to your app. The users pay it once and then they have lifetime access. This will not work if you have ongoing costs like API costs or backend costs. So this is more like an option for games probably. If you do a proper consumer app, you most likely want to go with a subscription model. You can do weekly, monthly, annual subscriptions with a free trial, with a pay less in the beginning, upfront period. There's thousands of variations. You can play around with this, see what works best. And of course, then there's the third option. Depending on your situation, maybe you want to enable also in-app purchases, so users pay inside of your app to get access to some features or items. So to manage all of this, I would highly recommend RevenueCat. I'm not affiliated. It's just, yeah, well, it's the best product out there, so far as I know. It just handles all the subscriptions, the managements, the payments for you. It gives you detailed analytics, so you know your projection, where it's going. And it also gives you a way to, for example, build paywalls per drag and drop. You can build your first paywall in 5 minutes. They have a list of a huge template list you can choose from. So it's really makes your life a lot easier. And if you want to take it a step further, then I would recommend Superwall to use. Superwall lets you basically design multiple paywalls and then show them randomly to users. And by this way, you can test out which paywalls convert better, which paywalls lead to more subscriptions. And yeah, that way you just can improve your whole payment process. Okay, onboarding, because I'm probably already over time, I will be very brief on this. Most consumer apps have some sort of onboarding process, some onboarding flow. It mainly serves the purpose of bringing the user into the app, showing the user what your app is for, how it works. You can also use it to personalize the user's experience by asking them questions that they can answer. Here is a huge list of different pages you can show. If you have any questions, if you want me to go more into detail on this, then just ask after the presentation. And lastly, for analytics, if you want to know how to improve your app, what works well, which features are used, which are not used, then implement some analytics in the beginning. Use Firebase, they offer good default analytic tools. If you want to go a bit deeper, if you want to have more flexibility, more customizability, go for Mixpanel or Posthoc. I myself use Mixpanel. And if you don't know what to track, I recommend you track two things. First of all, the onboarding. So you want to know, after the user downloaded your app, how far will they go through your onboarding, and will they actually sign up or pay after the onboarding? And if you see, okay, maybe on page 3 or 4 of my onboarding flow, the users drop off, then maybe that's a good sign to skip this page altogether or improve this page. So if you want to maximize your app revenue, then you should also focus on maximizing the amount of people that go through the whole onboarding to the sign-up process. And secondly, I would recommend you to track week 1 retention. So if the users do not come back after 1 week to use your app, then that probably means that you don't solve the problem good enough, so you have to focus on improving your core feature. Okay, and this is my last slide. Now, when you want to start programming, you have the decision. Do you want to code for iOS only, for the platform iOS, or for Android that's native, if you just choose one of those? Or you can do cross-platform, so you code once and deploy to both platforms. All of these options have their pros and cons. If you go for native, of course, it's you have all the APIs, you have the access to the hardware directly, you're up to date always, you do not have to rely on third-party frameworks. For Apple, this would mean that you have to code in Swift UI and the IDE Xcode. For Android, it would be Jetpack Compose and Android Studio. If you have to choose between one of those only, my only recommendation is, if you want to make money with your app, then go for Apple, because in general, iOS users are more likely and more willing to pay for apps than Android users. This is just what experience shows. And if you want to develop simultaneously for both platforms, then there's two main options. First of all, React Native, which builds on JavaScript. They use JSX for the UI stuff. And Flutter, which is from Google. They have their own programming language, Dart. The difference, well, React Native is a little bit older. They have already a huge community. So there's a lot of resources already out there. But maybe it might be a little bit slower, because as far as I understand it, I never did cross-platform, but as far as I understand it, React Native uses a kind of bridge to translate the JavaScript into the native components, and this might make the app a little bit less performant. Whereas Flutter, they have their own engine called Skia. They directly render the UI on their own canvas, and they don't have to interact really with the native components of the app. And Flutter might be a little bit easier if you have no experience at all from the beginning. If you start brand new, then Dart and Flutter might be a little bit easier to learn. But yeah, probably the next speaker will convince you that React Native is the best option to go for cross-platform. Yes, I have a few slides for how you could model the data inside of your app and how to connect your data with the user interface. But we unfortunately do not have time to go into this here. You can, if you want, do your homework and read through this little code example I have. Here's also my last slide, some of the websites you can use for design inspiration. Yeah. I hope this gave you a little bit of an overview. I know it was a lot, and I am probably pretty much over time. I will be holding another talk in the next Lightning talks, probably about app marketing, but I wish I could hold a talk about every slide that I showed here. So if there's any wishes to go deeper into specific topics, then yeah, let us know somehow, and maybe we can manage another talk about these topics also. Okay, so I'm open for questions if we have time.
Webseite bleiben. literally Apple hardware to program and a lot of Apple software like iOS apps? Or can you do it on Windows and emulate it on Windows or
As far as I know, there is a way to also develop, you mean native Apple, native iOS also on Android and Linux. I'm not sure what exactly you have to use for that, but there is a way for sure. For pricing, you have to always offer the same pricing. What you can do is you can change the design of the paywall, or you can offer you can change up your offering. So you can do a free trial in one paywall, or you can do a reduced starting price in another paywall. This you can do. Okay.
Okay then.
And thank you very much.